comfortable with just doing the music and playing than we ever did before.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. That we don't feel intimidated mm-hmm. by the expectations. We just actually get pleasure from playing in a way we never did before. That's the main difference.
Well, I mean, that makes me think about the intentions you may have had in the early days. I mean, I guess you were extending or continuing with your various sort of artistic approach to your work. And a lot of the, let's call it politics or theories or whatever it was being worked on and put in there. So you were really struggling with it and putting it out there. And then you were fighting people to get it out there, literally. So, I mean, maybe now because things are, you know, with the passing of time and you're more comfortable with each other. And I'm just sort of extrapolating here. And it seems to me that that's possibly why. Mm. Some people have been sending in questions over the web, and I'll just read a couple of things off the top here. This is for Jen and Sleazy. After all the years, what is your view on Austin Osman Spare today?
Austin Osman Spare was an occult artist who worked in London at the beginning of the last century. I think Genesis and I have both on and off collected his work and sometimes sold it when necessary. And my attitude actually to art is slightly different now because I live in Thailand. And in Thailand, generally people don't put pictures on their walls as much as Westerners do. Like, Westerners, I think, kind of define themselves by the chair they're sitting in or the lamp that they have or the kind of sheets or something. And likewise, the art that they have on the wall or their own personal style or something. Whereas people in the East find that unnecessary, I think, because Asians tend to have a much quicker take on what each other is like. And so they don't feel it's necessary to define themselves in that way. And when I lived with John Balance, with Jeff, we lived very much as in the Western style, which is to define oneself with one's Crowley paintings and whatever else, and Austin Osman Spare. But now I've kind of felt that I've left that behind, and I feel the better for it. I don't know how you feel.
That's a very good explanation, that the West is very much a place to this day which is defined by possessions and environment, and one builds a nest, and the nest is a symbol of the who you are. But also because we travel a lot to Nepal, the Himalayas, to the Far East ourselves, just got back from 5 or 6 weeks over there. My Austin Spare collection went in 1992 when we were suddenly stranded in California with two children, not allowed back to Britain for a while, and we sold it all and it paid the rent. So one should never get attached either to the item or to the idea, because you never know when it's suddenly going to shift in its importance and just become a resource. Hmm. And letting go of that stuff, selling it, was not painful, was not difficult. It was a very simple decision, you know, me and the kids or this stupid first edition.
Right.
And again, going to the East is just everything is devotional.
So if we start floating up off the stage tomorrow, you'll know.
it's just a very different approach. Everything in life is integrated still, and people are not necessarily obsessed with their status being displayed. In fact, often quite the reverse.
Mm-hmm. Well. Having said that, I think it's probable that people will find that you and I wear very loud clothing, whereas Chris and Cozy are very modest. And
yeah. I've got the gold earrings made in Kathmandu of the endless knot, which you couldn't.
Well, I've always liked the what is that?
This?
No, the machine gun.
Oh, the AK-47.
AK-47, yes. That's a very nice piece.
Well, we like that because it's like the Eye of Horus. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, actually, you're right. I never noticed
that
before.
And that's the god of war, sorry.
Jen will be singing tomorrow night.
The AK-47 is reputed to be the gun that sold the most. They sold the most of them. Millions and millions of them have been sold. And the person who invented it, Kalashnikov, is still alive in his 90s in Russia, and very proudly gives speeches about the fact that his gun has killed more human beings than any other gun invented so far. So we wear that to remind ourselves of both the symbolic nature of Western reality and the stupidity of it.
Yeah, more the stupidity, I'd say. Let's take another call. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Chris again.
Yeah, sorry we dropped you earlier.
Oh, it's okay. I have a question for Genesis.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, so you know that video on YouTube with Discipline and you kiss the guy at the end?
Yes.
Can you save me a kiss on Saturday the 25th?
No
saliva exchange is allowed anymore. That would ruin it, though. That was a classic improvised intuitive moment. And it's one of those incredible images that you could never, ever improve upon. And the ecstatic way that that guy responds. I'd love to know where he is, if he's still around, if he's alive, who he was. But your idea is very sweet, but the answer is no, I'm married.
Oh, okay. Again? I didn't even know that. Okay.
And no, I'm still married.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Sherv from Berkeley.
From where?
And Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. I was calling with a follow-up about the Desert Shore album. I was really, jazzed when I first heard about it because I love Nico, and it just brings up the question, what inspired you all to try and climb inside what is already such a really beautiful, complete work of art and try and, dissect it, put it back together, give it your own spin? And was it harder for Genesis to try and vibe directly with Nico, or did you feel she was your guide, or kind of how did you approach the whole thing?
That's a hard question. Jesus.
We've all of us loved
the album, and I must confess there to be an element of naughtiness within TG. To sometimes take on commissions or ideas just because they're the last thing that one would expect, kind of in principle to be just a little bit bad. And the idea to do the Nico album just came about because it seemed to me that it would be something that would be so beyond people's expectations that that it could be really interesting to do. It was just such a mad idea that the madness was a good thing and a creative push. Whether it remains to be seen whether that continues to be the case until the record's released.
It's the longest album I've ever taken to record.
We're still tinkering around with it.
In terms of myself, the best part of doing it was that the other three trusted that my voice and my ability to interpret was worthy enough to do something with a record like that. It gave me a very strong sense of trust and support.
Did you do all the vocal parts?
In all the different languages, yeah. And to make it more difficult, they didn't let me hear their versions of the backing tracks until I was in the vocal booth.
Uh-huh.
So they would play me Nico's version to remind me of the original.
Right.
Then drop that away, and then play me their backing track, and then we'd try and do a vocal.
Wow.
In front of an audience, just to make sure that there was no cheating, no sort of secret excuses for backing away from it.
It must be said that vocalists normally ban everyone from the studio when they're doing their own parts. And in this respect, Jen was amazingly brave and also amazingly accomplished at what she did.
Does that answer your question? Are you still there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still there. And just a naughty question of my own. Will Maki Kazaza turn up in San Francisco?
No, he's in coming to the Los Angeles performance.
You never know with Monty.
But then again, you might not.
All right. Well, okay. Thank you all very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if, Genesis, do you feel like you can still explore Pandrogyny through your art after the passing of Lady J?
Oh, yes. We've been having surgeries and we've been doing exhibitions and lectures and talks at universities more than ever. And we have books coming out. Obviously, it's different. It's difficult sometimes. But the idea, we feel, is strong enough that there's no end in sight. In fact, personally, for myself and Lady J, that's the last project. That's the project that leads to the discorporation of the physical body. So, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Hey, I just wanted to welcome TG to the United States.
Thank you.
And, hey, I'm originally from Port Huron. It's the home of Hunting Lodge.
Yeah. Hunting and Lodge.
Hunting Lodge. Hopefully you heard of them. Yeah. He was on Graham Revell's Side Effects label.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my question is, what aspect of your work brings you the most pleasure?
Which work are you talking about? The TG work?
Yes, I would say the TG work.
The main difference for me between what I do with TG and what I do with other projects of mine is that with TG, I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, we can step on stage, and it's possible we might have agreed a set list of songs 10 minutes before, but I've made virtually no preparations for this tour whatsoever.
So there's a lot of element of chance.
The chance and the third mind, which is as comes from the title of the CD, which we'll be selling on tour, and obviously originally an idea from William Burroughs.
And Brian Gayson.
And Brian Gayson, which is what they referred to as the kind of creative force that comes when two or more minds are joined in the same kind of a meditative or spiritual state or whatever.
Right.
And as Genesis said, you know, quite often she has to sing, you know, without knowing really what's going to be behind her the next minute. And so the most exciting thing, the most stimulating thing about TG is the element of risk, of success or failure. That's not really that so much, but just the unknowing, and the unknowing is a shared an experience we share with the audience. You know, if you come to see one of our shows, it's a mutual unknowing.
Well, I can't wait to see one of your shows. I'm going to see you guys in Chicago on the 25th. So
great.
Looking forward to it. Hey, can we videotape it?
No.
No.
No?
Oh.
No.
Are you going to videotape it?
Yeah.
Probably. I think so.
She said yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you.
All right, see you then.
Bye.
Great.
Bye. Bye. We'll take a couple more and then we'll take a break, I guess. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. FMU, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, I was sort of calling to inquire about the canceled UCLA event.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I mean, is it at all possible that maybe it might happen or might be relocated?
There's a show at the Ricardo Montalban Theater.
You go to the TG website, there's information on there all about the LA show.
www.throbbing-gristle.com has all the information. There is an LA show, but it's at that theater.
Just think Corinthian leather.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. Good. Also, do you like Wolfers?
What?
Wolfers, it's a...
They're all looking at me like they want to hit me or something.
We don't know what that is.
We don't know what it is.
Okay, well, so much for that. We'll have to research that.
Do you know what a wolfer is, Fabio?
I have no idea.
Let's Google it.
FMU. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say that I've really been into you guys for like 18 years, so that's half my life, because I'm 36. I got to say that listening to Throbbing Gristle is better than college. You know, you guys have taught me so much.
Well, we're not going to give you a diploma, that's the only thing.
Do you have a question?
So I've been a huge fan of Emeralds for years, ever since, you know. I was curious, how did you guys stumble upon them to be opening up for you?
Who? Emeralds. They're opening for you. Emeralds.
No, they?
They're opening for you at one of the shows in New York. Yeah. I think.
Generally, with a lot of these questions, the answers come in dreams. No, the answers come from our advisors. We try not to take... Well, it would be actually physically impossible for us to take too much of an active role in organizing these things. And so we tend to leave that to people who know better.
Okay. Thanks. Let's take another call here. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Al from Goshen, New York.
Yes.
And I want to know, you've influenced a lot of groups. What group have you influenced that surprised you the most?
Surprised you the most? Interesting.
That is an interesting one. But we could make up anything.
They're all thinking now.
I mean, good Lord, it could be anything. Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey was definitely influenced by Second Annual Report. I can hear it.
And obviously Britney Spears.
Obviously, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She's copied my hairdo for a start.
Thanks. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, quick question for you.
Yes.
I have a question about your song Maggot Death Brighton.
Right.
What about it?
It's only 57 seconds long, but it seems to be just a crowd talking.
Right.
That's correct.
Could you explain that a little?
is
that
DJ
when
thing,
the DJ is screaming, I hate you all, shut
something
the,
like that, yeah.
Shut the oops up and things like that. I'm
He's
sorry,
screaming to the
forgot.
Audience, not to the band.
Yeah, that's the DJ screaming at the audience, saying to them, you don't realize the privilege you're getting right now. One day this will be a legendary band, and you will say, I was there.
Oh, okay, so this was played at a show then.
It was the end of a show in Brighton, and the DJ was defending us as we were attacked physically yet again.
Oh, nice.
All right. So there's your answer.
Thank you.
Thanks. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, I've been going to the Chelsea exhibition of the Derek Jarman retrospective every week, and I was wondering, there's a vague description of when Gristle's involvement. I was wondering what they had actually done.
Well, they did soundtrack work.
Soundtrack work?
Yeah.
Well, for the actual exhibition, it seems like there's overhead stuff that's
overhead
not really
stuff.
Not really Simon Fisher Turner esque. I was wondering if they did any additional new stuff for the exhibition.
No, we didn't.
No new stuff. We did In the Shadow of the Sun. I think Coil did... What was the one you
Angelic
did?
Conversation.
And we did Super 8 movies and Mirrors and something else. We've all
Spanish
done...
One? I forget which one that was.
Oh, yeah. Catalan. Right. So between us, we've probably done 8 or 9 film soundtracks for Derek Jarman.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Thanks. Bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Maxwell from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Maxwell.
Hello.
Hello, Maxwell. How's your silver hammer?
Jen, thank you so much for the kiss on the right, my right hand.
I remember you.
Yes, that was beautiful. I have a question for you guys. How long do you think you're going to be together this time?
We
About
don't think
15 days, I think, isn't it?
That's it.
Well,
physically
what do you mean,
together.
What do you mean by this time? Do you mean will we suddenly fragment and go off and do other things? Possibly.
I mean, are you planning on staying keeping TG together indefinitely.
Forever.
We don't plan anything.
We don't plan it. We didn't plan to regroup, so we don't plan to disregroup or disrobe or whatever it might be.
Right.
We just do what feels right at the time.
Well, good.
I have my best boy in Thailand is called X, and he's now working as a street fortune teller. He reads cards and advises people, you know, for small donation to the temple. And he says, don't think about the future. Doesn't matter. You know, I say to him, well, you're spending all my bloody money. What do you
We're all
He says,
right
don't think
now.
About the future. We're here right now, right here, right now, exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bless you.
All right.
Thank you.
A blessing.
Next time
a blessing.
I'll kiss the other hand.
Sweet. All right. A blessing. Wow. Well, that was quite nice. Here, one more. Let's do one more. FMU, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a question about the kind of materialist ritual that goes on with the sound in the music and then all of the spiritual associations that seem to be a part of the music. And, you know, I've been listening for 15 years, but it's always been very difficult for me to reconcile that materialist ritual with all of this stuff that seems kind of like religious aspects of the work.
What materialist?
I guess he means people pay for tickets.
No. I was. That's not it. I was thinking more that, you know, in the kind of like Marshall McLuhan sense, that it's critical in terms of the way it operates in the media. And that critical aspect of the work always seemed to me to be something that was solidly materialist. And then the spiritual aspects of it seem at odds with that to me.
I would disagree with that. I think that it's the interface between the sacred and the profane that is the most interesting part. And shortly you'll be able to go to www.sacred-profane and see some of my newer photographic works. But
that was sneaky.
That's materialist, you say? There'll be a shop there as well, I know.
There will, yeah. But seriously, the thing that's always been the most exciting for me is when you get both. You get material and you get spiritual. And to me, that's totally what TG is about. It's both. You can't have one without the other.
You have to strike a balance, and life is all about striking a balance and learning about that.
I mean, you have to remember that when it all comes down to it, we've never used TG to guarantee us our daily bills, our way of life. We've always, all of us, worked really hard to survive, to rent a place, to raise a family, to eat, all that stuff that people have to do anyway. We've always managed to do that, but never have it censor or change the content of TG. So in that sense, it's always remained very pure.
It must have been a real struggle, actually, in those days, because you, as you say, you had to work and you had to, like, go about your daily existence, and yet you put in God knows how many hours on the weekends, whenever it was, to do your shows, to do rehearsals, to
build
come up
equipment.
With ideas. Yeah, exactly. So it must have been difficult.
Is. It still is. Yeah. It's still not our primary way of living. This is what we do to generate a dialogue with the world, and that's a spiritual interface, as Sleazy would say.
Do you feel that the world is talking back in a way that you're learning from, that is satisfying to you?
Well, my world is, but your world is a different. Everybody lives in their own world. My world is a fine world that talks to me, but that could be because I'm schizophrenic.
Let's take. Oh, okay. 201-209-9368. We had a nice run of calls there. Let me read one of the questions for Chris. It says here, Were the recordings released on the Space Between, originally intended as TG Instrumentals?
No, they were purely solo projects that I did. Because I was working in the Industrial Record Studio, I used a lot of the same equipment that TG used. And inevitably, they had that sort of TG imprint within them. Mm-hmm. I guess that's...
But they were
just
unique
solo
items.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
I think that can I just say one small
sure.
thing? That raises the question of how much we allow TG to influence our personal projects and how much, in reverse, the personal projects influence TG. And I don't know what you would think about that, because I think we try quite hard to keep them separate.
We do now.
But it's inevitable that there's a kind of a crossover in some places.
Mm-hmm. There's some bleed, isn't there? Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in that regard, like... with I know with Psychic TV in the very early days, and even sort of towards the late 80s and so forth, it was a distinct, unique, different entity from anything TG had done. I mean, do you feel there was any of that, as Peter was saying, going into your other work like Psychic TV?
Oh, there's always spillage. I mean, just the fact that we constantly use samples and found source material that we still improvise, that we still sometimes go on stage and say, what should we sing about tonight? There's a lot of things that are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the main difference is just the people that PGV work with as musicians are actually musicians. So there's the emphasis changes simply because they're also so fast at following my body language and the changes in what I'm saying, but the basic structure isn't that different. It is that you can always edit sound, word, and image, and get these amazing collisions that wouldn't happen any other way but by random chance.
Let's take another call. FMU, you're on the air.
I'd just like to ask, how many underage kids come to your shows?
Underage kids.
Under 18.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Does that matter?
Yeah.
It's been cool, the shows we've done so far, to find that there is such a wide range of ages in the audience. It's not just kind of old people.
They are all ages.
Somehow, yeah, the stuff that we do appeals to people of all ages and is intended for people of all ages.
We are doing a show in London in June that's an all-ages show that's open to anybody.
It's like very interesting. 14 plus or something?
14 plus, yeah. And we're hoping to get a lot of young people to come along to that.
Oh, I would, but nope.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're welcome.
Plane tickets, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not in charge of federal rules.
No.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Right. Shall we take a little break and listen to some more music?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I need a wee-wee.
Okay. We're gonna listen to another track off the new album, The Third Mind Movements. And when we come back, maybe we'll take a couple more calls. Keep this in mind. The number to call is 201-209-9368, and wait until the music stops and we start chatting again, and then call. Okay, here's some music from Throbbing Gristle. I quite like how that ends there. Okay, let's take another call. Back on the air with Throbbing Gristle. Here we go. FMU, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello. This is Hexlux. You may know me from the Coil List. I don't know. Jen, I met you on your tour down here in Austin, Texas, and gave you a big fat kiss.
Now everybody seems to be giving me kisses. What is this?
Hi, how are you doing?
Well,
it's
I
the
was
big
on.
Lips.
And Chris and Cozy, I saw you also down here in, I guess, 89 or 90, perhaps.
Yeah.
That was wonderful, too. Sleaze, you're the only one I've not met. I'm hoping that my VIP pass will give me a chance to meet all of you again.
Me too.
And especially, you know, I corresponded with mostly Balance during the 90s. And so, anyway, just 93. And my best wishes to all of you and good health, and I'll see you then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I was told that I have to say that we're on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org, our legal announcement there. Let's see. Do we have another call here? Yeah. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'm curious about your guys' use of software, if you're doing any self-made stuff these days with environments such as MaxMSP or whatever, or if you're using off-the-shelf stuff.
We use pretty much off-the-shelf stuff, although possibly Chris is qualified to use Max.
Yeah, I have used Max.
Generally, life's too short, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And now that they're going to amalgamate, they're going to make a version of Max available
live.
For Live 8, I'm probably going to use it more. But whether that will be used within TG is another matter. It's,
okay, thank you. Interesting to know.
Okay.
What about that story about the gristleizer you were telling me?
The gristleizer?
Yeah, the gristleizer was an effects unit that I made in the 70s for Throbbing Gristle, and it was a design published in an electronics magazine in the UK, and I modified it, put it in a box, and made a box for each of TG, and we used to put our instruments through it, and it mangled the sound. And then I made a few more for other people, and it sort of gained this mythical status as this sort of grungelizer that made everything sound like Throbbing Gristle. The parts became very hard to find, and I couldn't make them anymore. Anyway, 30 years on, someone's decided to make a reproduction of the Gristleizer, a company in Nashville, and we're launching it at the Chicago show. They're going to hand over individual editions for each of us to have. Cozy is the only member of Throbbing Gristle that still has her original Gristleizer, and while we were testing it for this company so they can make the reproductions, it actually blew up and broke down. So
another experiment
that went wrong. So there are no original gristleizers in existence anymore.
Wow.
that work, and this company is making this new gristleizer.
Wow.
That's based on the original design.
Let's see. We have a question from from our call screener Jeff, who's been helping out here in the studio. It says here, do you feel that any of the other bands labeled industrial are your artistic peers or fellow travelers, i.e. Cabaret Voltaire, SBK, Clock DVA, etc.?
I think most... No. Industrial has become like a Frankenstein's monster. It doesn't bear any relation to what industrial was back in the 70s. It's become something completely different, and I don't recognise it as being industrial, really. Although I suppose technically, if you take it literally, a lot of those bands do sound industrial with the driving rhythms and the mechanical sort of sound.
Right. But I guess from your perspective, it was more, what's the term? The concepts that you were imbuing into your project were very unique. They were of a particular mindset, and you were trying to make very particular statements where these other bands may not have had the same ideas in mind.
No, they do take it very literally.
I think a lot of people got into it just as a sort of accessorizing style.
So, like, blues.
Well, we even started to complain in the research books that people were thinking, oh, as long as there's no drummer and there's a drum machine and I scream and I talk about a serial killer, I'm industrial.
Right.
And
there were a lot of bands like that came around.
And that wasn't what we were trying to do at all. Plus, it meant they weren't listening to our music, because 20 Jazz Funk Greats is not like that at all.
Exactly.
For example.
Yeah.
So it became very frustrating that we were getting we were becoming the signpost for this whole very trivialized version of what we were actually originally trying to say. And while we were saying those original things, we were evolving and changing anyway. So 5 years on, when that was happening, we were no longer what they were trying to emulate in the first place.
Okay. Let's take another call on the air. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to know what some of you, particularly Sleazy and Jan, think about the way the media landscape has changed in the past 30 years. In some respects, I think that things are more democratized and there's more, it's more accessible, but also I think that basically the power of control in the media superstructure has become even more monolithic, and I'm wondering if you feel as despairing as I do about the possibility of real change in people's consciousness and in the world around us.
Some mornings we do, and some mornings we don't. It depends day to day. It's easy to get despairing, but then again, that's like door number one. What's the point? You know, it's like existentialism. Maybe when you die, there's nothing. Well, then that's not worth exploring. So look for alternatives. Look for different ways of perceiving it. Look for different ways of talking to people. And ultimately look at the fact that when you do meet individuals one-on-one, they tend to want the same sort of things as you, to be left alone, to be happy, to be creative, and to survive.
Okay.
And the glass is always a quarter full.
A quarter full. that's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. Okay, thank you. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey kids, how are you doing?
Kids, I like that. Kids.
Brilliant. Brilliant. This is Bree in Brooklyn. I was just going to say that, it's interesting to me that I run into you people like once every decade. The last time you and I spoke, Jen, was at the Pyramid, for the Live at the Pyramid.
Wow. That's in like 86
that was like
or 88. Something?
88. That's 88, yeah.
Yeah, that was like 88, and we had a bit of a long conversation after a Danceteria show in 84.
Wow.
Which was, that was a brilliant show, gotta say. And I'm just interested in, where are you going to be on Beltane?
What
Beltane.
Day is it? What day
Beltane.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know what it is, but when is it? I don't know that anymore.
Oh, it's May Day.
Going to be at home with my dog, Big Boy.
Oh, lovely. Well, at any rate, I hope that we catch up on Friday at Le Poisson Rouge, and I will be coming with a mutual friend of ours, Jen, Mona Mason.
No, Mona. Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm bringing Mona along. So.
About bloody time, too.
Right. She was supposed to email you today, but...
She did.
Well, brilliant. So I'm going to bring her along, and we'll have a bit of a laugh.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
That'd be lovely. And, I ran into Sleazy on 2nd Avenue a couple times back in the 80s, and it would be lovely to meet the rest of you folks.
Right.
Thank you.
We can't wait.
All right. Oh! FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if the band is still influenced by exotic music, like Martin Denny and Arthur Lyman.
it's hard not to like lounge, however much it's overplayed and over-promoted and has become something totally different as a genre than it was when Robin Gristle first started. Lounge is now a totally different... it's kind of associated, in my mind, with advertising of kind of mid-price saloon cars and things like that. But it's even despite that, it's hard not to like it, and I still enjoy, you know.
How can you not enjoy Martin
Gas and stuff like that?
Oh, Moon Gas, that's a great record.
There
oh yeah.
I still have about 20 plus vinyl albums of Martin Denny and Arthur Lyman and.
They're great.
But one of my all-time favorite souvenirs is a copy of Throbbing Gristle's Greatest Hits with Cozy on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's signed to Genesis from Martin Denny. Boyd Rice got it done in Hawaii when he was still alive.
Mm.
Yes. That's one of my all-time favorite special fetish items.
He autographed it for you, did he?
Yes.
That's great. That's great. He's fantastic. I love Martin Denny. Let's take another call, shall we? FMU, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. So, about the TG24 box, my question is what would your suggestion be for the best context to listen to such a monolithic piece of work in one sitting?
One sitting? Wow, you're strong.
going.
And Cozy's going. She's shaking her head. You know, no.
What was that journalist that did it and wrote a really good piece
about it? Alex Petridis from The Guardian. Yeah.
The Guardian, yeah.
What was his name?
Alex Petridis.
Yeah. He actually did listen to 24 Hours through headphones for 24 hours, keeping awake. His wife apparently nearly divorced him over it. And he said he wrote this amazing article about it, and around about halfway through he had this epiphany where he suddenly went, oh my God, it really is the soundtrack of what's going on.
He suddenly got it. Yeah.
He suddenly said he had this sort of shift of consciousness.
Wow.
And thereafter it was really easy to keep going to the end. We've also had people tell us that they took Datura.
Datura, really?
And then listened to the entire 24 hours.
Without vomiting.
Wow.
Well, that we don't remember. People have done it in all sorts of different ways and combinations. Often trying to stay awake is part of the problem.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So it's quite really ambitious, down to your though. It's really down to your own personal choice and metabolism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Also, I have a question more specifically directed towards Genesis.
Yes.
You want another big kiss? Come on.
Okay. Do you have a small wolf where your penis should be?
Oh, man.
That's a very strangely phrased question.
Oh, well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
We have a tattoo of a wolf next to our penis. Is that what you mean?
Well, no. I mean, I'm only really
trying to find out whether we still have one or not.
Yeah, I would only care if you had one in place of your penis, not not next to it, or you know.
We don't believe it's genetically possible to grow one yet.
A wolf.
Yes. Okay. So you do have hope, though.
Okay. We have hope of everything.
Thank you. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Steve calling from Hoboken.
Yes, Steve.
Hi. One of the questions that I really wanted to ask was, when Throbbing Gristle reformed, did you get a lot of flack or criticism as TG reforming as a cynical thing?
That's interesting.
I think that the public in general has become much wiser in the last 30 years than
really?
It might have been back then. Or maybe because our records are already out and people kind of know a little bit what to expect, even if we don't. I think
accepted the unexpected?
The possibility of it, yeah. And I think one shouldn't be concerned about that.
Okay.
There's always the odd person who's whining that they can't get everything for free anymore by downloading it and stealing it. Therefore, we must be materialistic.
right.
But generally, people have been excited to see what would happen next, as have we.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, it's an ongoing journey. It's a narrative with nobody writing it, so it's always interesting.
Another person writes in. They want to know, what bands or music are you listening to today that interests you?
Well, I personally listen to a lot of Thai country music because I live in Thailand, and the country music they have, especially from the northeastern part of Thailand, is fantastic. It's similar to American country music in that the songs are about people's dogs getting run over by trucks and their wives, you know, going off with the little sister or whatever. It's like, you know, typical kind of same subject matter but just treated in a very different way. I try not to listen to Western music if possible, although even there, that's hard.
I mean, obviously, for myself, I don't know, I listen to the AAS, but they're friends of mine. I tend to listen to people who are friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been listening to the Les Coyle album because Sleazy gave it to me a couple of weeks ago. And it's a very prophetic one in terms of Jeff John Balance and his vocals and stories. But over any period of time in my house, it would be whatever it was that we're listening to would tend to be recorded before 1969.
All right. I know you're a big fan of psychedelic pop and that sort of thing.
And the Incredible String Band.
And the Incredible String Band.
And Dr. Strangely Strange.
Of course. Cozy, any ideas on that? No.
She wants to go to bed.
One last call, okay? I know you all want to take off, so I'm not going to like torture you anymore. But I first of all, I want to thank you all really for coming down here and doing this. Really, really a pleasure. And really,
they're all really jet lagged. They've
I'm sure they are
from way, way, way far away.
Yes, you came from Thailand,
from Bangkok,
from
yeah.
Bangkok, and that's a long haul. So really, thank you all for coming in here
it's
and doing this.
Yeah.
Let me give you one last call, and then we'll say our goodbyes. FMU, you're on the air. You're the last caller.
Hello, Fabio and Gristle.
Hi. Yes, hi. Hello.
Hello.
This is Rick from Circle X.
Rick!
Your contemporary.
Hey.
Gristle. We were in Dijon in 78, 79, and while we did listen to you, we were a little introspective and didn't concentrate because we had our wheels in gear. And I think it's just wonderful that Fabio's got you over here and that you guys have, like, been so kind and come along.
Mm.
How's it going for you?
Good.
You ready for bed?
Absolutely.
Well, we're the lucky one this time because we live in Brooklyn, so we just have a 10-minute taxi ride back to the dog and we're fine.
Wow.
There you go. And he's been quite kind to you, hasn't he?
He has been very nice.
Rick, stop greasing the wheels here.
come on, you've been pasting their back. Let me paste yours.
we'll have to chat later.
Give him a CD or two from the libraries there, Fabio.
Yeah, right.
What about the question? This was meant to be the very, very last.
That's true,
question.
Rick. Do you have a question for the band? No.
Actually, yes, I do.
Okay.
What's the next thing? Just something quick, acoustic, maybe. Ballads, love songs.
The thing is, you never know.
Even we don't know.
I think a love song, you guys are ready for it, you know?
But
we've done lots of love songs.
A bit of crooning.
Oh, come on. Almost a Kiss is a love song with crooning.
Yeah. There you go, see?
No, you guys can put your own twist on it, I'm sure.
I think Hamburger Lady. Hamburger Lady is kind of a love song.
I think, Fabio, you've got to play Almost a Kiss now.
Almost a Kiss.
Well,
I got to dig it out.
Thank you guys all. Thank you, Fabio.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Good night. Have a lovely evening.
Good night.
We'll chat.
See you soon.
Rick.
Chat later.
Oh,
thanks,
is that
Rick.
Your boyfriend?
Oh, my boyfriend. He's a pal. He's one of the members of Circle X.
I was just teasing.
And he was here not too long ago. They reissued a record of theirs last year. Okay. Well, I know you all, Paul's there, ready to get out.
Whisk us away.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you all really so much for coming down to the station. And Genesis, behave yourself.
It was great. It was fun.
It really, really was. Thank you very, very much for coming down to the station. It was a great pleasure to have you here. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the Masonic Temple in Fort Greene in Brooklyn. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And then on Friday.
On Friday at the Poisson Rouge, and then again on the 28th, I believe it is, at the Masonic Temple.
Right.
So three shows in New York. No one has a reason to miss Throbbing Gristle now.
Except that the first and the last are already sold out.
Yeah, but there's one more show.
There is one more that has tickets available.
Right. So, and that's the Friday show, I believe. Yeah. So get your tickets. And go see Throbbing Gristle. I'm sure it's going to be quite an event.
It'll be as surprising to you as it is to us.
Thank you so much, really. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, indeed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Spank you.